It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting superintendent at UGASports.com. He gets a new title each week. And, of course, Jim Donnan, the former Georgia head coach, Hall of Famer, the man who actually had led different leagues in passing offense and rushing offense, one of the few, maybe the only, to ever do so. So we have him to discuss all the happenings in Georgia football this past week and going forward. Georgia football is here this Friday. We have the first day of fall practice for your 2017 SEC defending champs, your national runners-up, and recently picked to win the SEC East and face Alabama in the SEC title game. So if you're not excited about this upcoming season, you probably should tune out of this podcast right now, because that's what we're going to be talking about. An amazing weekend for Georgia, picking up three commits. I've been gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah, are we just going to totally gloss over that fact?
Let's not talk about that a whole lot. But first and foremost, I want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors who probably got more bang for their buck this past week with me not being here than anybody. Big shout-out to Your Pie. I've missed that. Now that I'm back home, I'm definitely going to get some Your Pie. We're here at Champy's on Baxter Street. Good crowd has come in to listen to the show. Be sure to come in every Tuesday at noon. We're going to have some food up here. We'll show you for those watching on the 11 Alive Facebook page. Of course, 11 Alive, our biggest sponsor. We do it on their Facebook page. They let us come in and destroy their journalistic credibility every week. We love those guys. Big shout out to Athens Ford. They have some great deals out there. This is the week I think I'm going to pull the trigger after having driven in Cairo, which is insane. Absolutely insane. I thought driving in Jordan was crazy, and nothing could top that. I drove in Cairo. I was scared to drive for 2 weeks. But having driven in two other countries, I need a Ford F-150 or Ford Explorer. They have great deals on them. If on next week's show you hear that if I dangle the keys in front of you, that's because I've driven elsewhere and I need a Ford. So big shout out to Athens Ford. Of course, academia. There's good beer in other countries, but there's nothing like the Dom Kolsch. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Oh, so glad to be home. And, of course, Robert's Wall out in Statham, Georgia, you know, and Cable East, big sponsors of our show. And if you're watching this on 365 Game Day, you need new gear. The season's going to be here in less than 5 weeks. Go to 365 Game Day and buy some new Georgia gear. You can get it at Rivals.com, and we get like a tiny little kickback. But the guys at 365 Game Day are huge supporters of our site, and they might even have a little promotion coming up to get a membership to UGA Sports. So Ooh. Be sure to check that out. I'm going to jump right into this past Sunday, Coach. What a big day for Georgia football. Not just from the commits, the unveiling, then the commits. You know, what a big, just giant leap forward for the program. Give us your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, last week we had our show and we talked about the preview of the whole week. I think somebody has a tendency to maybe get lost in the shuffle. The fact that we got a premier defensive lineman on Tuesday night too, so you add that one with the three we got on Sunday, within a 5 or 6 day span there, just you know, really a tremendous amount of good players coming here, and then the organizational structure that they had. Jake did a good job of Trent, they did a good job within the framework of what you could know. You know, that was kind of mission impossible to get in there and figure out. But
they did a great job. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know, I'm watching the stuff happening. I'm in Egypt. You know, their cell service was a bit sketchy because of Verizon. Thanks, right. Verizon. But
I think it was sketchy because you were in Egypt.
No, some of the networks there are fantastic. Just my I was trying to use my plan from Verizon overseas. Not a great international plan in Egypt. Great in Jordan, though. And the updates that were coming to my phone, I mean, I picked them out. I'm like, oh, my God. And a little inside baseball, they knew a lot of this stuff was coming before it went public. And so I'm like, oh, man. And I wanted to tip my hat. Like, you guys need to be at UGASports.com right now and see what's about to drop. So great work, guys.
Yeah, you did a good job with it. And very, very good. What I liked after the fact, right when they dropped, they'd already had their the really good background on yeah. the kid's ability. But when you look at the fact that you were able to go into a state like Louisiana and get two guys out of there that have wow. that kind of athleticism, and you know, we Jake and I talked on a couple shows when you weren't here about Emory's ability to, you know, shake and bake at a big kid, you know, and he's a very very mature kid. You know, he's got a good plan, and you know, in the back of his mind, you know, just like most guys, he wants to go to the league, and this is certainly the place that's putting him out here now. And I think without question, to getting a guy like him on top of the ones we just got, Cook and White, just goes to show you the phenomenal job that Dell McGee continues to do, because he mentors these kids. He knows what it's all about, trying to keep everybody happy at the same time. You know, they know the best guy's going to play. And certainly Justin Fields had something to do with it too, being around and doing a really good job of talking the program up and telling them, you know, about what the future is. But I would say, without going any further, just Tongue, the thing I like about him, you know, his dad played in the NFL for 10 years. He's got yeah. good genes. He can play a lot of positions, but he gives you immediate impact as a special teams guy because he can really run and hit, being a wide receiver that plays linebacker too. And then, of course, getting Davis is just right out of Apopka, Florida, which has always been a hotbed for the Gators. What are the Gators doing down there? Is Mullen playing golf all the time?
Yeah. I'm not there are some questions floating around on those message boards.
There were some very interesting headlines that were popping up when I was out of town about Florida.
Well, they had a couple of bad off-the-field incidents, but I think one with an air gun and some other things. But I think the thing that you don't want as a Gator fan is a guy committing and saying that you beat my alma mater, NC State, on them or somebody like that. You know, they're not even in the top 30 right now, are they, in our rivals thing, would you say? Where are they rated?
I do not believe so. I will go check for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're in the area code there. I mean, so Arkansas is out recruiting them.
So let me get this straight. Georgia goes into Louisiana, a tough place to pull a kid from. I guess the last guy Georgia got from there was what, Michael Chigbu?
The last signee was Michael Chigbu. Now, if you'll remember, the last guy they had committed from there was Aaron Brulé last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't end up signing with the program. The last signee was
Michael Chigbu. Are they both Rivals 100 guys?
No. Tongue is not. He's an unranked 4-star.
Okay.
Emory is 80th in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so. You're pulling 2-4. In other words, you're not pulling out a 3-star, you know, offensive guard who wasn't off the ballot.
Here's the thing, though.
You're
I'm going to interrupt you here. I mean,
Nick, come on.
We don't need to really worry about these stars right now. And here's the reason, because if you just put Kirby in its place, he's very selective right now in who he's taking. So anybody he takes, I don't care if they're 1-star or 5-star, the guy's a premier player, because we can pick and choose right now, can't we?
No doubt.
Our biggest deal is it's like Dean Smith one time. I was up there in Pittsburgh recruiting this kid, and he's wanting to come to North Carolina. And then he said, I got a buddy that's a basketball player that wants to come too. And, you know, I said, who's recruiting him? And he told me, and I went back, and Dean said, you know, he's just not good enough for us, but, you know, he's a nice kid. You know, so that's the point. We got we can be selective, and I think these last 6 or 7 are, I mean, maybe we go 23, 24, but it's going to be real interesting. We can pick and choose, and it's going extremely well. But I don't want to harp too much on last weekend as much as just the preliminary of getting ready to kick start the season, because I think – hopefully that's what it's all about. These guys aren't going to be here till you know, next year. So,
yeah, but I'm just thinking about, for like you said, you had the reveal. Now Georgia just spent $32 million on the indoor facility. We've seen the payoffs from that. The first time Georgia has it, they go to the title. Granted, they're not hand in hand, but it just shows you the trajectory of the program. Then they're spending $60 million on the west end zone. The east end zone is going to get some suites on the bottom there. And, you know, they're showing – we're seeing the locker room that was imperatively needed. I mean, when you're going back
– oh, it was ridiculous.
The locker room It was pathetic.
It was as bad as one of the worst high school locker rooms I've seen. I mean, it was as basic.
It was a high school locker room.
Yeah, it was basic and bare bones.
Right. You and I have been in much better high school locker rooms throughout the country interviewing kids, and you should not have that at the University of Georgia. But now you have not only the better locker room, but you have this recruiting suite. And the kids are going to be sitting over the tunnel when the team runs out from the West for the first time. At least first time I know of. We need Patrick Garbin here, our historian, to tell us. They're going to run out from the West. You know, the place is going to go bonkers. And if you're a football player and you're standing there, you know, sitting above them, and they come running out underneath you, you're thinking, you know, that could be me. And they'll be right there amongst the students. The recruiting whole aspect of it is going to be good. It's going to be great for the parents. You know, grandma's going to be there, you know, for that first kickoff when it's, you know, blazing hot. She can go down into the lounge, have some nice drinks. Meet with, you know, maybe a Luke down there.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Know, he talks her up and gets grandma on board, and all of a sudden, you know, right. The kids pick. But to your point about picking and choosing, you have this great facility. The kids come and see it. They start committing, and the spaces are filling up. And we've seen this in the past. We saw it under Coach Ricks, saw it under we're seeing it under Kirby now. There always seems to be a top player. And, again, I only bring up the rankings because of the two kids out of LSU, you have Louisiana. It's not like you're getting scrubs. You're getting top players.
Yeah, we talked about last week. Patrick even pointed out nobody keeps talent at home like you LSU.
Yeah.
It's just it's absurd,
exactly.
The number of their top rated.
It's
guys
a lot easier to get a kid out of Texas than it is LSU. LSU is brutal. So you go into LSU, you get two of the top ones, and we've seen this under – ever since I've been covering Georgia, this will be my 25th, 26th year doing it. All of a sudden you get a note from a kid saying – hey, I'm not hearing from this coach anymore. I'm not hearing from this staff anymore. Do you know what's going on? And we're like, well, no, because we're not allowed to talk to them about you, you know. But it's a situation where a kid who's highly ranked may all of a sudden stop hearing from the Georgia coaches because there's just no more room at that position.
What you can say to a guy is, you know, hey, we're in a situation that there's going to come a day and we're going to have to tell you that you're going to have to either make a decision or we're going on to another player. And you don't do that with certain guys. That time has come now because, you know, all these naysayers are worrying about our recruiting. And what are we, second or third now?
We have Georgia at third right now with 16 commits. That's four less than Alabama, who's number one, and that's seven less than Texas A&M, who's number two.
But our average per signing
is four, and it's the highest in the nation.
Right. So there's only 16. I do think we're going to be able, with attrition and with, you know, maybe some guys like, you know, Chigbu this year that took a medical, we'll be able to take it over 20 for sure. I don't know, 22, 23. But the bottom line is player-wise, it's just augmenting the players that are here. But if you look, and I'm going to say this one more time, if you look at our team right now and what it was at the end of the spring and you add Hayes and Robertson to that team, and I feel good about Robertson being able to come out there.
You think he can play this year?
Because of some of the recent rulings, you know, North Carolina got a kid from Ohio State
Antonio
has 2 years left.
Yep.
And so, but essentially we've got – I don't know if Hayes, was he a four-star or what was he?
Coming out of high school, I believe he was, actually.
But anyhow, we've gotten – in the last month, we've gotten six players – that are four-star or better when you add those two to it, when you add Hayes and Robertson.
But that is right. That is a recruiting at an elite level. I mean, I think when Kirby had one class, you know, his first class was rated very high. And, you know, to his credit, he held on to a lot of those kids that Mark Richt and his staff had brought in. Then in his first full recruiting class, I think his first, wasn't it? He had the number one class in the country.
Last year?
Yeah.
Georgia?
Yeah. That was his second.
That was his third class.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah,
in 2 years. In 2 years, he's with his number one class. Right now, you have the number three class in the country with four fewer recruits than Alabama, seven fewer than Texas A&M. So the two schools ahead of you have a lot more recruits. Now, granted, the way the rivals rankings work when it comes to team rankings for recruiting class, they measure the top 20. So if you get to 23, 24, your last four don't count. So Georgia can still add four more to catch up to, you know, to match Alabama's 20. And they're already number three. Georgia stands a chance right now of getting back to the number one
recruiting
class.
We'll be in there.
But even if you end up at number three, your point is you're Go ahead.
I wanted to loop back to Coach just to let him know. Florida ranks 42nd currently in the nation. They are behind such illustrious programs as Temple, Wake Forest.
Pitt.
Pitt.
Temple.
Purdue.
Virginia.
NC State. And
Pac's going hard.
Ole Miss even at number 9. Wow.
Oh,
Matt Luke doing work.
And how about
Arkansas's
in the top 20 now, aren't they?
Yeah, somebody? Absolutely. I believe 22. They're right outside, so they're going to jump in there soon.
But the thing about it to me, though, is when I see a tweet that some guy says, said Mullen's recruiting makes McElwain look like Bear Bryant. But I think Mullen's a good coach, but I'm surprised they're not really, with this new staff, I thought they'd be all over, but Coach Rick is doing a really good job in keeping those kids around Dade and Broward County. And of course, you see Willie Taggart coming in there strong with a new program there. So he better get going there.
I'd really like to pull one kid away, like to see Georgia pull away one kid from Miami.
Who's that?
Stevenson.
Tyreek.
He's not committed.
No, I'm saying I'd like to see
from the city.
From that area.
Oh, yeah. And
the reason I bring that up is just because I think
war room.
Yeah. The UGA Sports front page today has something on it called the UGA Sports War Room. This is where we have information that you can't get anywhere else. It is behind-the-scenes stuff, some rumors that we've heard, some things that our sources have told us who will not go on the record because of the sensitive nature of their positions and
exactly.
They don't want to be on the record about it. They don't want to get in trouble. Some of it is very, very, very insider. So we don't put it in a normal story. We put it in what's called the War Room. There is one live this morning. I recommend you read it. If you're not a member of UGA Sports, it's only 27 cents a day. We're about to start practice Friday. You need to be a member of UGASports.com.
Exactly.
The War Room will pay for itself in your first visit. So
it's been
here's what's happening, though, on the out-of-state. To me, particularly in Florida, you got Coley who we're able to keep, who has a really good feel for it. You've got that pipeline now. All of a sudden, Campbell's talking to him. Devod Wilson's talking to him. Devod's tight with Stevenson. He's telling them,
really?
Say, look,
yeah,
they were, when I got hurt, they were really, they couldn't have been more, on top of things. You just can't. That's invaluable to help you. One of your bros is talking to you man to man. Hey, what they tell you, they're going to teach you technique. He got up here in the spring and got all those reps because Webb went down and then all of a sudden he gets hurt. But I'm telling you now, your best recruiters are your own players, and they're sold on it. When Ledbetter took out Hayes when he was in here, when he was already committed to Oklahoma and turned him around like that, you just can't beat that.
Absolutely. The camaraderie is paying off huge for him. I totally believe that. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, though, too, Coach, and I've been asked this on several radio programs over the last week, and certainly since these commits started
who's
popping.
Who's your agent, man? I see you on the other show. Who's your agent?
The guys want to know, and I think it's a good question. I have my own thoughts, but I'm interested to hear yours. What do you think is the lure for Georgia to be able to stack up guys like Emory in the backfield where you've got two five-stars from last year? DeAndre Swift, a guy who's right outside of that five-star range. Brian Harry and Elijah Holyfield, two very talented guys. How do you convince another guy to come into that scenario?
I just think, first of all, you show them the overview of, put yourself in this offense. Forget about who the other players are. If you feel like you're a player, you're not worried about competition to the point where it's going to drive you away if you like everything else. But at the same time, look at the supporting cast. I think it's huge, these linemen we got.
Oh, no
these
doubt.
These linemen, these guys are seeing these big old Chilardos coming out there, coming off the ball, and they love that. And they see that. As far as, getting to the line of scrimmage. So you're selling that. You're also saying, hey, you're not going to have to be the brunt of everything because we got these two quarterbacks here now. The future's bright there. And look at these receivers that we have. So any good athlete is going to be – I know Emory this last weekend, I know one of the guys he was talked to me about and said he's talking about how do they do on teaching you how to pass pro, because that's the number one thing all these kids when they go up to the NFL, can they recognize what the different looks are? And Dale McGee's a master teaching that, and also Coach Chaney and Coach Pittman have good systems in place where they can teach you that. Now, everything is that today, it sounds like we're just on a euphoria kick, but I'm just telling you, all these things add up.
No doubt.
And it's based on performance, not potential. And the performance is that Dell McGee is putting guys out that people want to look at. I mean, he took two guys that were hurt, had major injuries. Chubb had one, and so did Michelle. And they go in the top, you know, right there in the top 30.
First round and top of the second round.
Right. Yep. So I just think Dell's got that kind of it factor as far as, you know, going around and talking to people as far as if he walks in there, hey, if they know if University of Georgia is recruiting you, I must be an elite guy, and if they think I can play, I'm going to go there if all things are equal, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's why I feel like these guys aren't near as worried, just kind of like Fields coming here when we had Eason and Fromm. You know, I think if the guy likes the place and he feels like he can fit in the system, and that's a best answer I can give you.
I think my theory is that it's guys realizing that they can come in, they can make an impact. It's going to be a fair shake. I think guys like DeAndre Swift, Jake Fromm proved that last year. But simultaneously, too, in the backfield especially, you don't want to burn out your legs by the time you get to the league. And if you've got five or six guys able to shoulder that load, all of them making their own impact, I think that allows you to preserve your body. It keeps you more ready.
Well, we've heard that over and over again. You know, when I first started covering recruiting, you know, you would talk to a guy and he wants the ball 30 times a game.
Nobody,
you know,
wants that.
He wants that Heisman. But, yeah, now you talk to a kid and you're like, so really, well, you know, what do you think of Georgia? And he's like, well, they've got, you know, Sony Michelle, you know, Nick Chubb, you know, Elijah Holyfield, Brian Harry, and all those guys played. But we heard this from DeAndre Swift, you know, who obviously that's a kid who wants the ball. But he's like, I'm free to go there and share the load and learn from those guys.
Yes.
And to your point, when you talk about the coaches coaching, we have in our industry a blind spot, if you will. We will say this guy is a great coach or he's a great recruiter. You know, it's just it's oversimplifying their role sometimes. And when Dell McGee first got here, a lot of people said, well, we don't know if he's a great coach or not, but he should be a strong recruiter. Turned out he'd be a great recruiter, one of the best out there. And now we're finding out, yeah, he's also a great coach. And when you start getting those guys around you, we saw that James Coley, Jim Chaney, Sam Pittman, you know, and then, I mean, how many guys were looked at? I mean, what is it, five, six different guys had job offers in this past turnaround? There are other schools that want your coaches because they know that they can do both. And I was of the inclination that certain coaches on the staff were a better recruiter or a better coach. Come to find out, Kirby Smart can spot talent, not just on his – and again, you know, I'm not trying to
– He spots it and keeps it.
He spots it and keeps it, and he knows across – not just in a high school kid, but he sees it in coaching prospects. And when a new name pops up, like you see, you know, who's landing? Who's this guy? It's probably a name to watch because he's not going to hire anybody. Can't do the job. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm so, you know, Kirby's the best, but it's just his, like you said, performance, not potential. The performance he's shown so far, you've got to be excited as a UGA fan that you're starting fall camp Friday.
Well, I want to tell you one other thing that you can add to that I'm sure that I've heard Kirby say, that a lot of people remember that Kirby coached the running backs here in 2005 or 6. So he has that background on offense that he knows protections. He knows – so he can say, look, you know, I'm a defensive coach. I've been a defensive coordinator, but I also coach running backs. And I see your skill level, and I really feel like you can fit in our system. So he can talk that talk. And he also can say, look, I recruited Alvin Kamara. One of the things that Kirby was always able to do is come in the state and go after some of the big dogs and get a lot of them. And he knows position-related skills that you need to have. So when Coach McGee brings a running back in there, you know, it's not like Kirby's not going to look at the tape. I mean, he's got a deep-seated interest in it. But you got to be a boy dog to be a running back here to get offered a scholarship. I mean, I'm serious now. You look at all these guys they got. So, I think that answers the question there. We got a good position coach. We got a really good coordinator. We got a tremendous O-line coach. And we're going to develop you and get you in here and get you ready to go. But the other thing, there's a little bit of unknown with the backs, too, that if I was recruiting, I would say, look, sure, we got Swift and these other guys, but, you know, all they're going to have is 1 year on you. It's not like they've been playing 3 years like Chubb and Michelle, so they still got to prove themselves, too.
I want to touch on something you mentioned about the new guys coming in. Yeah, we're talking about recruits a lot because it was a huge recruiting weekend. That number one recruiting class is now in Athens. They're here. When Friday, I know one of the first things we'll do when we're during the open media period is look at some of the guys we haven't seen before. We'll be checking to see how far is Zamir White, how far is he along since his injury. You know, how does Tyson Campbell look? There's a lot of guys that we want to get eyes on the first time, but I think after having such a couple highly recruited classes, we thought that this might be a step back for Georgia this year, simply because a lot of kids are going to say, yeah, but they've also signed so many, you know,
you're talking about
linemen.
The next class that's coming in?
The next class is coming in. You will see some hesitation based on the fact that Georgia's been doing well.
Young, talented depth.
Exactly. So why should I go to Georgia? And I always point to people like, this never hindered what was happening in Alabama. They never seem to have a problem signing number one class after number one class after number one class. And not to say that Georgia will, but Georgia's recruiting at an elite level simply because you mentioned it. They see that you're going to get a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, the coaches are not in. I mean, two of the stories that I read that you guys had about commitments, the number one overriding thing they said was the Georgia coaches kept it real with me. They did not kiss my butt. They told me how it is. And I know if I go to Georgia, I'm going to get a fair shake. And even a kid like DeAndre Swift can get on the field, even though there's two legends in the backfield. You know, if you're a good defensive back, you're going to get to play, even though there's guys with 98 combined starts on the field.
Sure.
If you can rush the passer, you're going to get on there, even though Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter are on the field.
Walter Grant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when we start looking at, you know, the Brenton Coxes of the world, you know he's going to get a shot to go. And when you see the new commits, you're like, that kid is cocky. He's a boy dog. He thinks that I can come to Georgia, and if I get a fair shot against the talented guys they had who were 4-star and 5-stars already, I think I can beat them out or at least contribute my first year. Maybe start out on special teams, but I got a shot to play, and if I'm better than they are, I will play. It's the ultimate merit-based system, and I think a lot of guys, if they're confident in their ability, believe that I have the merit to make it, and so I don't foresee an issue with the I mean, even the war room, there's a little tidbit in there about a kid named Clay Webb, who we've raved about. If Clay Webb looks at George and goes, yeah, they've got great interior alignment. They signed the number one and number two offensive guards last year. They've got a couple great centers. And he's looking at it going, yeah, I've gone against those guys in camps. I know they're talented, but I might be the best.
I think you make a good point.
And he can pick.
Overall, the overall deal, but the really good players – they don't give a shit about who's on the team.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. They don't.
And we can say that on the internet.
Well, no, you're right.
They really don't. But no, you're, that was my point. So my 5-minute thing was summed up in 2 seconds by Coach Don, and that's why he's a coach and I'm an idiot radio guy.
No, you did a good job with it, but I mean, they don't worry about it.
You're right. We're going to give a quick shout out to Athens Ford, huge sponsors of our show. Right now, if you want to swing out there, the 2018 Ford Escape is only $18,500. It is $6,346 off its normal price. $3,000 that's from Ford. $3,300 that is from Athens Ford. So you need to swing out there. The Ford Explorer is $8,000 off. We might be riding to New Orleans in that new.
Did
Ford
you
Explorer.
Sell any overseas? Did you get any?
No, I was in a ridiculous.
I thought you might have got it where you could write that.
I tell you, there were some garbage cars on the road that I had to dodge and duck and dive from and dodge again.
Can you dodge a wrench?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a Fiat or a Renault. But I think you can run the country of Egypt if you drive a Ford F-150 over there. I think they will elect you president because that is the truck you need in that crazy place. Saw a bunch of Fords in Egypt, a bunch in Jordan, but very few trucks. And what you need over there is a truck, a nice one. So, and right now you can get a Ford F-150 for $14,000 off. So get out there and get a 2018 F-150 right now.
Beautiful.
14 grand off of one of these things. So you got to do that. I just can't tell you more. And while I'm talking about our sponsors real quick, I want to jump on a very special thing coming this Saturday from Academia, the Brew Pub, the voted number one new restaurant in Athens. Always going to pause as we get a sip there. This Saturday, you know, it's going to be the open practice for the fans.
Yeah.
They can come up. At Academia,
no media though. Just the fans.
They're going to release the latest version of their Fructosum series, a fruited beer. This one is Niobe's Tears. It's a Goza. I can't say it right. It's like
prosciutto.
Yeah, with peaches and strawberries. So if you want a peaches and strawberries Goza,
yes.
Is that like Gozer?
It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's a little salty, a little sour. You know, all of those Niobe's Tears that they're doing have been tremendous. That the cranberry and key lime, I think it was really excellent.
That was really good. We had that.
You gotta love something with a little bit of peach and strawberry.
For the summer. They have their crowlers. We have some pointed out here. You can swing by and get that in a crowler. It's fantastic. So if you come in for practice, go around the loop. Swing this route past the mall, go to Academia, and you can pick up one of that or any of their other beers. Right now, I'm drinking their Dom Kolsch, one of my favorites. I've missed this beer. It's been 3 weeks. I'm going to probably have a couple more after the show's over while you guys go and do actual work. It's good to be the king. So if you get a chance, swing by Academia. And here's the thing. If you're hungry, again, one of the best restaurants we've had in a long time in Athens. So swing out to Academia and get yourself a bite. We better jump on some questions because we got a lot of them coming through. And I had somebody threaten if I don't answer a question.
No, I did get a good text from a player that played for me from Louisiana, Demetric Evans.
Oh, yes.
He was fired up about those two kids from Louisiana coming. And there's a tremendous example to me of a guy that came in here as a young player, didn't get a chance to play a lot because we had Seymour and Stroud and some of those guys, but he went to the league and played for 10 years.
Yes, he did.
And now he works for the NFL for the Players Association, and he takes these kids that after they get out and counsels them about how to get out in the business world and use stuff like. He's got his master's degree now. His wife actually is a doctor, is an OBGYN. It just makes you feel good from the Georgia fans, I know, just to hear about guys like that because he's so fired up about Georgia, but really happy to see two more Louisiana kids coming up here.
Well, I mean,
listen to our show, right?
Exactly.
And if you're a Georgia fan, you should be thrilled because when it comes to players per capita, the number of football players who make it to the NFL out of the population, LSU, I think, is number one. You know, or Mississippi and LSU, those are two. They have more players per capita make it to the NFL out of any other country in the world. I mean, any other state in the nation. I'm thinking countries in the world because of my trip. Georgia's up there. A lot of top players in the NFL from the state of Georgia. And then when it comes to in college players put out per capita, of course, Georgia's way up there as well. So that's if you're getting players from Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee,
not so bad.
North Carolina. And that's nothing against the guys from out west. You know,
good players from Tennessee this year, right?
You got a couple great ones last year too. So the point being, you know, a couple 5-stars. If you're pulling kids out of the South, you're pulling the best ones, and then you go up to Rhode Island
and go pick and choose.
And go pick and choose in New England,
Pennsylvania. Swift and Webb. I mean. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is as strong recruiting as I've ever seen at Georgia.
Let's go with a quick rundown of these freshman guys we got here right now.
Let's do
it. Throw it out there. Oh. How about How about Campbell? I mean, I'm going to tell you, this guy can really run. Quay Walker playing inside at linebacker, been very impressive. The fact that he can move inside, we already know about the guys that are here in the spring. We're going to leave those nine out. But also Otis Reese, I mean, really, really has made an impact back there. Can flip his hips, can is good enough to be a free safety, even though he was recruited as a linebacker. Then you look on the other side, the fact that Tommy Bush has come in here and given us a big receiver that we need, maybe not a first down type guy, but a guy that can come in there. And then all of a sudden you add Robertson to that. And just keep on going. How about Davis? How about the size and girth that he's got? We've seen him lifting weights and everything.
Yeah.
He's closer. Channing Tindall can really run. We talked about his speed. I don't know anybody else on defense that I'm missing. And certainly offensively, we've talked about White. But Cook, I mean, this guy can really – he's got a jitterbug. But he's also good at catching the ball, really good soft hands, understands coverages, can come out of the backfield. That's a quick report off the top
of
my head.
All right.
What about Jamari Sawyer?
Well, Sawyer's stronger than Ajax. but, you know, the thing I like about him is he just come in here and was behind a little bit, but he just worked extra, has done the things to help get his weight under control, and he's really reacted really good to the guys that kind of brought him into the focus, you know, and let him and helped him a little bit on their own too, because the coaches can't do anything with him except meet with him and do some weights and stuff. But I think Sawyer, Hill, and Mays, I mean, three linemen like that in any class, just.
You know, I think when you bring in a guy like Sawyer and seeing what, you know, Andrew Thomas did last year from the same school,
yep.
And you expect him to kind of reach out to
right.
his younger guy and take him on. But I would bet dollars to donuts if anybody was in his ear telling him, hey, you need to do this and fix that.
He does it. And I forgot
no, I'm, to no, mention. No, I'm saying there's somebody else. Trey Blunt.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you, Trey is one of the most polite kids you'll ever talk to. He's incredibly
– He's got he's good leadership.
Incredibly bright, great leadership. But I think if you have to pick the guys – I noticed that in the SEC media days, Kirby Smart says something about J.R. Reed, saying, look, he was not afraid to say something when something needed to be said. And although you will never, ever hear it from Trey Blunt, I guarantee you that's a guy who's probably saying it behind the scenes, saying, look, man, here's how it sounds. Here's how it stands. And, you know, Mecole Hardman, guys like that, they'll speak up.
Here's the thing about J.R. Reed, too. We saw him in media days and everything. But the thing that impresses me is he certainly knows on the field and he made a lot of plays. But he's really developed himself physically in our weight program, you know, after being here 2 years. He looks so much better physically right now. I saw him in a training room the other day. I mean, he always has been – always looked good, but, I mean – he looks like a dang linebacker. I mean, this looks great. And I forgot to mention Luke Ford. I mean, I don't have the memory that I used to, but Luke Ford gets your attention. I mean, is big, fluid, can run, can understand routes. Nod has done a terrific job with him, you know, kind of being his mentor. And there's been some good leadership out there with these guys, you know, understanding. If you're a good player and you're on a good team and you see a good player coming in, you recognize the fact that that guy can help you win.
Absolutely.
And you're going to work with them and help them, you know. And I know I talked to Terrence Edwards about Sawyer. You know, he said, hey, he's just like Thomas. He learns quick. You know, Terrence helps it over at Pace Academy.
Yep.
But how about Terrence Edwards when he was getting recruited? You know who the recruiters were for him? At Auburn, the recruiter was Jimbo Fisher, who was coaching on the offense. At Alabama, it was Dabo Swinney, who was coaching the defensive ends. I mean,
not bad.
Two pretty good assistant coaches going after. But we were able to pull him in here because his brother helped a little bit, and his mama really helped.
You mentioned
I used to go to that Dairy Queen down there a lot.
I don't know what Dairy Queen wasn't.
Dairy Queen, Dairy something, but she was great.
You mentioned Jordan Davis. I just want to, if people haven't seen that video on Twitter, go look up the video of him throwing up weight. People do not realize how big that kid is. He is absolutely massive.
Not quite as big as Shaq, but close.
Right.
But we talked about on our show when he was here watching practice.
In the spring, yes, sir.
Over the bowl season.
That's right.
Before the Rose Bowl, he and Tindall were here. And I tell you what, I thought there were two recruits, but I'm going to tell you. He's very personable kid, too. I like it. I like when a guy will walk up to you and talk to you instead of somebody's moping around, you know.
Like Jake?
No, Jake. Come on, man. You can't. Hey, you got to work up to get back on the show, man.
Yeah, I'm the lead dog.
Yeah, he is. You should hear him more. You should hear him spot these commercials out.
He did a great job. I need to take him down a step or two. They won't let me come back anymore.
He's good on the commercials too.
All right, we do have some questions rolling in here. I do want to touch on some of these. Brian Murphy asks one that I think a lot of people are probably very interested in, and you know, we've given a lot of positive news, but he says, how big of a loss is Andrew Booth to Clemson? I think it's a huge loss.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he's an in-state guy. He never had much interest in Georgia, so it wasn't from you know, a perspective of, oh, you were so close and you thought you were going to get him. But it hurts because he's one of the best defenders in the state, in the nation, and I think it was very clear that Georgia wanted him to be part of this class. But
you're going to miss on some, you know.
You know, occasionally you do, and the thing that I would say is you can't get too wrapped up and worrying about a guy that you never had that good a shot at.
Exactly.
I mean, there's times that, you know, reflecting back wherever I've been a coach, you know, it's hard to believe that the guy wouldn't want to come to your school. But sometimes all of them don't have the same let's just look at it fair and square. Clemson's got a lot going for him right now.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
They've been to the dance three straight years. They got facilities that – that are unparalleled. I mean, nobody's even close, really, on their facilities. And they've got a very good staff. Their defensive coach just ended up getting the biggest contract of any assistant coach in the country. And so we got to look at your competition and give them a little credit there. I mean, you can't get them all, but it's a big loss because the guy's from Archer. He's 60 miles from here, and he's a big time DB. I mean, there's no question about it. And you can't get them all, but I think we could soothe it a little bit if Stevenson would come on across the border quick.
And that was our next question. Jarvis Hanna wants to know, who do you guys think will be the next commit? 4-star guy, 5-star guy, JUCO guys, who do you think? I'm leaning toward Tyreek Stevenson. I think that that's a possibility. Wow. But don't forget these two JUCO guys that are hanging out there, DJ Daniel and Jermaine Johnson. I think that both of those guys were close. Johnson is an outside linebacker, and DJ Daniel, a cornerback. Both highly regarded, both highly chased after by numerous programs.
Daniel was a D lineman.
No, DJ Daniel, no.
Who was a D lineman that was here? That was here last week.
Savion Williams out of JUCO. That's right. He's another guy.
I got that mixed up. But
he's another guy kind of on that cusp.
I don't even know. Are we really gung-ho on him?
He's a guy who I think is a little bit more up in the air. You know, it looked like he had a pretty good visit to Tennessee, too, so that may end up being his landing spot. But I think any of those three guys, DJ Daniel, Jermaine Johnson, or Tyreek Stevenson, those are the guys
to
watch.
Our Tuesday.
Those are the guys to be watching.
Well, we do this all the time after Georgia's had a bunch of commits, you know, you kind of get in that run, and you're like, well, who's next? And sometimes our recruiting guy comes up with a list of five people and we put it behind the paywall because that's some good insider information. Or sometimes it gives away on the podcast.
Maurice Carter says, I want to ask, does the recent commitment from Ryan Davis hurt or help Georgia's chances with landing N'Kobe Dean?
Talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, so Ryan Davis, like we said, Rivals 100 guy, they added him this weekend. I don't think it impacts N'Kobe Dean, who is one of the top inside linebackers in the 2019 class, mostly because they're just different players. They play different roles on the defense, and, you know, N'Kobe is a little bit more in that Roquan Smith vein, a little bit smaller guy, but sideline to sideline speed. I think of a guy like Ryan Davis as kind of run in the middle, Reggie Ragland, a guy who had some success under Kirby Smart. He's a bigger bodied guy, like you're going to see with Quay Walker as well.
Right.
So I think that it's different roles. I don't think it has much impact.
Give a shout out to Coach Fountain, too. I mean, he goes down in Apopka, Florida. That's a tough area to recruit, and really good job. I'm sure Coach Schumann helped him too, and Coach Smart.
That's hand fighting down there, Coach.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about a couple guys that maybe that I was trying to figure out. How about the Cine? How do you pronounce it? The kid
Lewis Cine. Yeah, Lewis Cine. Yeah, Rivals 100 defensive back out of Texas, safety. Really, really like his film. Good speed, a very willing striker.
Good looking
kid
on the hoof. I saw him getting out of the car over there when I was getting some treatment, and he was just driving in from Texas with his coach, and he passed the eyeball test.
Yeah, you can tell he's a player, no doubt about it. And I think that he's I think he'd be a huge kid for him.
How about C.J. Clark and Jakeem Green?
So C.J. Clark is a 2019 guy, but he committed to North Carolina State over Georgia. Now, that's not going to slow things down from Georgia's perspective. They're going to try to get that
come
kid
back. If we need, right?
Yeah, I think that they're going to keep pushing for that kid. Very talented defensive lineman. They were in heavy on him, and they'll continue to be. And then with Jakeem Green, you've got a guy who is another junior college defensive tackle, committed to South Carolina from the state of South Carolina originally. So, you know, he's definitely got some hometown connections there, but they've been pushing pretty hard there as well, and they definitely need that experienced guy in the middle. I think he would be a great fit for
all
that.
All right, the last two. How about Elam?
Kier Elam is a very long safety cornerback, defensive back from the Elam brothers, the Elam family. I think he's a cousin to Matt or something of that nature. I don't think he's a brother, but he's a very long guy. That's the big thing you notice about Elam. He's
where's that from?
He is out of Miami area, I think. But anyway, just a tremendous player.
Well, you're knocking it out here. How about Kenny McIntosh?
Kenny McIntosh?
Running back.
I don't know anything about Kenny McIntosh.
No, you're doing a great job. Now, who's this guy you don't know?
Let's see how far we can push this.
I think he's making up names on his phone.
Okay.
It was a contact from 1946.
There you go. Out of Fort Lauderdale, rivals 250
four-star
guy.
Isn't he?
Four-star, 6 foot, 198, kind of in that same physical area that Emory is in. You know, you got to think that Georgia is interested in adding a second back. I made the point to say, though, the other day, if they don't want to, they don't have to take a second back. You could get some class separation like you did with DeAndre Swift. You'd be fine with just John Emory in your backfield this class.
Well, I like the way you knocked those guys out. Those are guys that I've been asking about, but I didn't know you had the great knowledge of them. But what else we got?
This is why he's recruiting the super guru.
We just wanted to check you out. But,
And Jake, read up on some questions here. I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Your Pie. Like I said, I'm back in town. This is what I would like to eat right after I have, you know, they brought us out a chicken finger plate here.
That's
at Champions.
Going home with me.
Come on, man. Let me go on. Now, you deserve it. You deserve 10 or 12 rounds of beer and anything you want. If you want, I'm going to get the fried green tomatoes here before I leave. I asked early before the show started if I could have that on my way out the door. So
really?
You
made an early order.
I did. I said, I need some fried green tomatoes before I leave. I'm back home. I need to eat like I'm home.
What was the best thing you had over? Did you have any fried camel or anything? Any goat? Did you have any goat?
They do eat goat over there. I've had it. It's phenomenal, actually. They cook it locked up. I had a lamb, a grilled lamb that was die for. Oh,
I
my God.
For a grilled lamb. Whew.
And I will say this about the food overseas. It is fantastic. I have six ants. Five ants over there. I have six ants total. Five of them live over there. There was an unconscious contest to try to feed me and my wife and my son. They were trying to they're so happy. We hadn't been back in 17 years. So they were all very excited that we were there. And
let's make it another 17.
Yeah.
I went to thing.
No, hey, not for recruiting.
Talking about lamb. I went to a thing in the NFL thing one time, and they had these little lamb chops, and they had the had the mint right beside it. And this one big old lineman there, he had this technique down. He was going – picking up the chop, slipping it through, putting it looked like dinosaur bones on the other side. I told the waitress, you need to clear out those. I mean, this guy just had a system. He just flipped it.
Well, I might have done the same thing, but I'm not going to admit to it. But no, like I said, the food was great. The ants were they were making unreal meals. We had feasts every day. I probably gained 40 pounds. It was brutal.
Just 36.
Yeah, just 36. But on the way back, now that I'm home, I was like, man, I get to go to Champions tomorrow. Got in late last night after 29 hours of traveling. Slept 1 hour. 2 hours total for the last past 48 hours. So I was punch drunk. So I'm like, I want Champions food. And then I thought, and I want a Your Pie. If Your Pie delivered at like 2:30 last night, I probably would have had one in my office. So, again, Your Pie and Champions, and, of course, Academia.
I go to Academia, too.
Yeah, the three of the best places you can eat. All huge Georgia fans. All of our sponsors are big Georgia people.
Good friends of ours, too.
Yeah,
good people.
So if you're in town this Saturday or if any of the other 58 locations of Your Pie, swing by, get one. I recommend the Southern Heat's one of my favorites. So drop in. And if you want to come by this Saturday, you want to come by Champions and get their fried chicken, their tamales.
Yeah, I think they should come by before practice.
Before practice? Yeah.
Come have lunch at Champions, go to Fan Day, finish the night with either a Your Pie or maybe a little Academia on the way out of
breezy.
Town.
You got it made. You'll have enough food for the next day as well. And I will tell you, I ran into my wife's uncle. He came to town, and he was raving about the Champions in Nashville. And I said, yeah, we do a show there every week. He's like, I thought, so he's seen the show one time. He's a big Tennessee fan, so he doesn't watch the Georgia stuff. But he was raving about the cheese, pickle, and sausage plate at Champions. And I'm going to see if, in addition to my fried green tomatoes, if I can get a plate of that before I leave.
Now
so
you're just getting greedy.
I'm looking at Josh across the room.
Hey, we do have a couple more questions rolling in
here. You bastards, you ate it all.
I want to get in on Andrew Caraway. This is an interesting one. He says, Elijah Holyfield, I feel, keeps being overlooked. He reminds me of Craig Lumpkin. Could he be a sleeper impact player this year? Coach, your thoughts?
You know, I don't think he's overlooked by the players or the staff. He's just been a victim of being around a situation where he had some really good players at his position. But I think spring practice certainly solidified the confidence that the coaches have in him because of Swift being a little bit slowed down and Zamir not being able to practice. He and Harry got a boatload of reps with the good number one. So he's very good, and people don't realize how the burst he has too. I mean, he's got a good burst, and he really wants it badly. He'll get his shot, and it'll be interesting to see to me how quickly Zamir can translate game type situation after having that kind of injury. I mean, you just can't really quantify exactly how a guy's going to react to it, but he looks good. You know, White looks good without anybody hitting him, but we'll see how that goes. But I really think he makes a good point. Craig Lumpkin type player. He's a good player, and I really like I like the team atmosphere that he presents. He's great on special teams. He shows
played a little fullback.
I just don't see us using much two back stuff as much as using some tight ends
In
the 12 personnel, letting those guys go in motion to be the lead blocker. But we could see some of that. I mean, you know, we got all of it. There's no question. The problem with us is going to be, particularly if Robertson is out there, is deciding who to put on the field and what packages to use and streamlining it and going with it.
Where would you rank that in terms of good problems to have?
Oh, that's right up there.
You got to figure out which of these guys are going to put out there.
Yeah. It's kind of like us talking about this food here, you know. I mean, which one you want to eat, but I mean – we don't have a lot of negatives to overcome from on the offensive side. Defensively, we got to replace some linebackers, but those guys have done well in secondary. But we got guys in place, and we got to get somebody to punt. But all in all, I mean, I look forward to seeing how we're going to put it all together. And every team's got its own personality. But, I think the fact that we talked about when you were gone, Roddy, that this team is capable of physically just lining up in Burma Road and anybody we play against. I mean, that gives you a lot of confidence as a coach that you can just line up and hammer and tong them if you have to.
That's why I always love our media opportunities to speak with Sam Pittman. And he said that, you know, last year they had bully ball. He said that's what we kind of want to be known as. We want to be known as the team that's going to go out and – and I go back to Kirby's first press conference where he said, look, we got to get better on the offensive line.
Yep.
I mean, he called out – maybe he called out the players, but he called out the recruiting prior to that. And he said, you know, there are times when it's third and two, you have to run the ball.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world knows you're running the ball. And it comes down to man-on-man execution, hitting the hole right, and everybody doing their job. And he says, we just don't have the size right now to do it.
I got a trivia question. Do you know where Jonah Williams' dad went to high school?
I do not.
No, sir.
Went to high school in Atlanta. That just chaps my ass.
Jonah Williams.
Every time I look at Jonah Williams, he should be playing here.
You know, before he moved out.
You're talking about the Alabama offensive lineman.
Before he moved out to California, I believe was playing, I want to say at Milton, maybe. It was in the Alpharetta area. Yeah. When I remember the first time I spoke with him after he got the offer, he said, I used to work out under a Georgia flag. When I was in the mornings. Yeah, it was a huge
pull. Georgia was in it.
We can't miss on a guy like Jonah. Well, we missed on him, and of course, Hyatt had some Clemson background, but Brown played for Oklahoma this year, was from over there south of the airport.
With Orlando Brown, one year you'd want him, the next year you wouldn't. If you'd seen him coming through high school, you're like, this kid is going to be an NFL first rounder. Then the next week, next year, you'd be like, this kid is never going to play. And, you know, he had the issues at Oklahoma where people thought, oh, this kid is he's out of shape, and then he was in great shape.
But
Mitch Hyatt, I interviewed him the first time.
I think his dad went to the same school as that kid that we signed the tight end.
Marist.
Yeah, I think he went to Marist.
Okay. Yeah. We got a couple questions rolling in here in the same vein. Andrew Moore and Chase Eckerman both want to know predictions for who's going to be holding down that middle. Who's going to be your starting middle linebackers on defense?
Matres Patrick and who else?
Monty Rice.
I think Monty Rice is just too good a leader, organized, got good feel for the system. We're going to have some good competition there, but I would say – and, you know, got to give Natrez a lot of credit. He's really worked hard and straight down the middle all through spring and summer, and he's a good player there too. And I think our defensive front though has been enhanced so greatly by Hayes that it just really fires me up, you know, with Clark and Hayes and Rochester and Ledbetter, and you know, we're okay there.
I like Chris's comment here, a nice little tidbit of information. Miko Harbin was the number two overall athlete in his recruiting class. The number one overall athlete was Demetrius Robertson. And they went back and forth in the rankings. And there was a, you know, I remember when Demetrius said he was going to Cal and a lot of people got mad. And then they got Miko Harbin, you know, on was signing day.
Yes.
You know, with the cakes and whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like,
well, busted out there with those gloves.
Yeah.
On.
You didn't get the number one guy, but you got the number two guy. They've gone head to head in camps and just put on absolute shows of skill and talent. And now they're both on the same team.
Yeah.
Both a wide receiver, which is.
You got to get up early to think up some of these things people say.
No, I mean, it's a good point. But now you got – what are you going to do with – on that? Who's your starting
best
wide
guys,
receivers?
Best guys are going to play. They're going to work it out. And you know, the thing that McCole has really worked on hard, he's not a natural receiver because he played quarterback and defensive back, because that's what I would have done with him, give him the ball as much as you can. But he's really developed ball skills and knows how to read routes and read – read coverages and run routes, and you saw visions of that in the championship game on a deep ball. But I think the edge here is Robertson was a receiver in high school to go with his speed, and you catch that many passes in the Pac-12 against some of those deep, you know, which is a passing league. You know, those people know how to cover people. He's going to be a big plus, and he'll help. As much as these guys will help him learn the system, he'll help them too, because he's been around some, you know, Sonny Dykes is a good offensive coach. I mean, he learned in the Mummy system. He actually was a GA at when I was coaching there. He was a GA for Mummy up at Kentucky, and he was a head coach at Cal when he was there.
Let's should we go ahead and wrap this thing for the week? I think I'm starving.
let's get one last question here.
All right, one last question of the day. All right. Brian Murphy, capitalizing on our conversations about the middle linebackers, he wants to know, and I've seen a few people ask this as well, what kind of impact are you expecting from Nate McBride this season?
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I think he's going to continue to be a force on special teams. There's no doubt about that.
Lightning fast, one of the fastest players on the team when it comes to his overall. I mean, this is
Nate was in a position there where we were really good. And he, as a true freshman, he got some playing time, but at the same time, he's learning what to do, and he's really increased his strength to go with his speed. I think down the line he's going to be a player for us. But, you know, the thing all of us got to be careful about is rush to judgment. If a guy doesn't play right away, then you have a tendency to forget about him instead of letting them kind of, you know, soak and learn what to do. But anybody with that kind of speed, you know, that's one thing you always hear Kirby talk about at linebacker. I think down the road he's going to help this team.
Absolutely.
And he's smart as a whip, too, when it comes to football. So don't count Nate McBride out. That's it for this week's show. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon. We'll have more for you. Quick shout out to EuroPie, Athens Ford, 11 Live, 365 Game Day, Cable East, maybe a new, I'm not going to say a new sponsor in Aaron Doris, but stay tuned for maybe a big announcement next week.
Big announcement.
Yeah, Academia Brewing Company. Again, swing by any of either Academia, EuroPie, or, of course, Champions here on Baxter Street next Saturday when you come to town for the open practice that they will have. Kirby Smart's going to have that going on. Also, Cable East and 365 Game Day for being sponsors of our show. And, of course, 11 Alive News. Be sure to stay on 11 Alive Sports. They are going to do a lot this fall covering the Bulldogs. They also have great Braves, Falcons, and Hawks coverage. And, of course, they are also the leading news breaker in the Atlanta market. They have great stuff, so be sure to watch everything you can for 11 Alive News. And we will talk to you folks
close
next
it
week.
Up. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.